Today's daf in Masechet Yoma, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Samach Aleph. So we're up to the two dots, which is we're up to seven lines down. V'chein b'heichal, v'chein b'mizbeach, is where we got up to. So let's just remember what our Mishnah has taught us. The Mishnah essentially has said that we have three completely different sets of damim, and that as long as we complete one set, if something goes wrong subsequently, we don't have to go back and start all over again. So that the three sets are the dam that is brought lifnai v'lifnim, the dam that is brought in the heichal, that is sprinkled towards the parochet, and the dam that is brought on the mizbeach in two stages, the karnota mizbeach and al taharosha mizbeach. So that is only clear to us where we completed the entire set of those particular kaparot. Now the question is, what happens if in the middle of a particular act of Aveda, the dam spills out? That's a different issue, because then we have to worry about whether we take an additional par or soyer, as the case may be, and continue from where we stopped off, or whether we need to view the entire set as having to come from the same animal. So that we had a machlokas in the Mishnah, and we want to get into that and into similar situations and see whether every place where we have separate sets of doing things actually takes on the same structure that the dam of Yom HaKippurim come from. But what's interesting is that this is taken for granted, and the Gemara is going to let us know where it really comes from. So how do we know that each set should be viewed separately? Tana Rabbana, if you take a look at the very end of the Parsha of Yom HaKippurim, right before the Pasuk that tells us Chukat Olam, which we were darshaning, that only these things, Zot Lachem Chukat Olam, so it sort of summarizes, this is what the Kohen has done. V'chiper et mikdash hakodesh v'et oel mo'ed v'et amizbeach yichaper v'al hakohanim v'al kol am hakahal yichaper. Let's analyze each one of those words and understand why the Torah mentions it separately. So first of all, it is mikdash hakodesh. Mikdash hakodesh obviously is the ultimate of kodesh. So that's kodesh kodeshim. And that's lifnai v'lifni. So that's referring to what? So most of the Rishonim learn, that's referring lifnai v'lifnim to the dam that is nizrak lifnai v'lifnim, because after all, the issue in the Mishnah is that it is coming to tell us that we have these separate sets of dam. So probably that's what the pasuk is coming to say. But Rashi says, no, the meaning of ze lifnai v'lifnim is that we are referring here to v'chiper et mikdash hakodesh. We don't mean v'chiper in the sense of zrikas adam. We mean in the sense of bringing a kapora. Obviously, because look at the end of the pasuk. It says over there, v'al hakohanim, v'al kol ha'am, yechaper. What is that supposed to mean? We sprinkle the blood of the kohanim. We sprinkle the blood on the kohanim. Obviously not. What it's referring to over there is kapora in the normal sense of kapora from chet. So therefore, Rashi understands that the meaning of the v'chiper at the beginning of the pasuk is similar to this. So v'chiper at mikdash hakodesh is which chataim are we referring to? V'chiper at mikdash hakodesh means the tuma that someone may have had, and they went into the Beis HaMikdash when he was tamei. So that could mean that some aveda was done betuma, or that refers to where something tuma got into. Someone who went into or did something in the Kodesh HaKadashim or became Tameh in the time that he was in the Kodesh HaKadashim, that's what it's mechaper on. And remember, we have the whole Sugya and Shavuos, it's mechaper where the person did not know, and when the person finds out afterwards, he would still have to bring, of course, the Karban Oil of Yoreid on that particular issue. But meanwhile, this Karban on Yom HaKippurim is Tela for the individual, and obviously it's a reference to the impact of the Tum as well. Remember that the concept of Kapora is a very complex one, when one of them has to do with the impact on the individual, and one of them has to do with the nature of the existence of the Chet, and there are many other levels as well, as we discussed in the Ochas Tshuva. But over here, the Kiperz Mikdash HaKodesh is a reference to whatever it is that the Chet of Tumas HaMikdash, Lifnai V'Lifnim, implies about the impact on the person and the world. So it's not referring to the dam of Lifnai Velifnim. Now, the Rishonim learned that it is referring to the dam Lifnai Velifnim. And in fact, as the Ramban explains it, the idea over here is that each group of dam is mechaper on the area where it's being brought. That's the idea. So the three sets are also innate here, which Tosfos on the previous daf basically understood Rashi as meaning that when we're talking about these three sets, they are not only three sets of dam, they are three different types of kapara that need to be dealt with. And that's why we're mentioning it. So we have the Mikdash HaKodesh, Lifnai Velifnim. Ohel Moed would be either the dam that's brought in the Ohel Moed or Tumah that was took place in the Ohel Moed for which that dam is Mechaper, the way that Tosfos understands Rashi. Mizbeach means Kemashmo'o, that's Kepashtus. So if somebody was mitameh in the area of the Mizbeach, which everybody times, what do you mean the area of the Mizbeach? I mean, there's no difference in the area of the Mizbeach than in any place else in the Heichal. It's all one level of Kedusha. So it could be from the Mashmaut of the Tosfos on the previous Amud that there might be a different gears here in Rashi, as some of the Achronim point out, and that is that it doesn't mean for shihia b'chdei shtachavoya, which is the shear of how much time you would be mechayev for being metame at the Mizbeach. It means you did an aveda betuma. An aveda betuma is a different iser. Okay, in any event, we're talking about over here clearly different types of kaparas. And then when it goes on to say v'al Mizbeach, yichaper, it's adding yet an additional kapara. What's that additional kapara? That's referring to tuma in the Azorah. Again, assuming that Rashi over here is the final word of his approach, or it means elu azarot, doesn't refer, it's referring to the dam, the way the other Rishonim are learning it. So then that would mean that it's a reference to the shiyore hadam that you do in the azara. But again, the finest pshat, I think, is the combination of the Rashi, Ramban, and Tosfos' understanding, which is that these two things go together. And that the Gemara is coming essentially to address how do we know that there are three separate sets? And therefore, it's establishing that first of all, we have three separate kaparas. And if you include the Shiore Adam, we have four separate kaparas. And then we have, of course, the matonais that are connected, these four separate kaparas. And that's why the Mishnah says that each one has to be looked at separately. But then consistent with this bright, as I pointed out earlier, which is clearly focusing on the object of the kapara rather than on the act which brings that kapara, the way Rashi understands it, for consistency's sake. So then when it says a kohanim, it means you are mechaper. The kohen gadol will be mechaper on the kohanim for any chatoim that they did. And then when it says ama kahal, that means Yisraelim. When it adds yechaper, which isn't mentioned beferish, that's referring to the entire Shevet Levi, where it talks about al beito. And then that teaches us that there must be, we never knew this, there must be a single kapara, yechaper, that includes Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. Now, what in the world would that be? Because we know that when it comes to Tumas Mikdash V'Kedoshav, the kapara for the Kohanim was from that first Aron Ubeiso, and then the include, somebody is not muted here, Rich. And that, yeah. And then we have the Yisraelim have no connection to that kapor. The Yisraelim get their kapor from the Sarah Mishtaleach. That's what we do the Vidoy. The thing is that the Sarah Mishtaleach is also Mechaper al Kol Avonos, right? So where did the Kohanim get a kapora of kol avonais? Because the focus of that we learn out from Pesach in Masechet Shavuos, that the focus of the avodas hapar v'hasoyer that's done b'fnai v'lifnim and lifnim is specifically on tumais that were caused to the heichal or to the kodesh, right? So where did they get their kapora from? This Pesach that makes all of them one yechaper has got to be referring to. This teaches us shekulam mitchaperim b'sorayim mishtarach b'shar avirot. That any other avera that a kohen does, a levi does, he's no different than anybody else in Yisrael. And the Soyer HaMishtaleach is what is Mechaper for anything but Tuma. And that in that, they're the same. And so holds Rabbi Yehuda. So that, what is the Kapar of the Soyer HaMishtaleach? The Vidui. Because we said before, there is no Dam of the Soyer HaMishtaleach. Now, Rabbi Shimon says, now hold on a second. When you're talking about the Soyer HaMishtaleach HaShar HaVeiros, and you're talking about being mischaper on the vidui, can I go back for a moment and look at the kaporas that took place from the par and the soyer anase bifnim? Remember an interesting thing, that the soyer anase bifnim did not have a vidui. Because remember that the soyer anase bifnim is viewed as some type of doppelganger of the soyer anase bechutz, right? There's supposed to be two formats of the same carbon. One of its brought, that's why they have to be Ushvu, that's why it's done on Pigoral, and there is, very strangely, no vidui done on the soyer. So what happens is that the soyer anase bifnim is mechaper only with its blood, right? And then the vidui, that's what's mechaper on the element of the soyer anase bechutz, and that's what really makes it a very strange, multi-faced carbon. So it's ki'ilu, half of it is to the Hashem, and half of it is la'azazel. Now, if that's the case, points out Rabbi Shimon, that all of the karbonos that we had, where we do have both a vidui and a dam, what does that tell you? It tells you that a vidui is mechaper without dam, and a dam is mechaper without vidui, meaning that they have different foci. So when you're talking about the multifaceted soyer, you look at what the dam does, and you look at what the vidui does. Well, the same thing is true of the par. We had a vidui on the par, and then we had the dam on the par. How do you describe the difference between those two kaparos? I think you're missing the whole point, says Rabbi Shimon. Take a look at the implications of Bezot Yavo Aaron El HaKodesh. I say that kishem shedam ha-sa'ir anasi b'fini mechaper al-yisrael b'tubas migdash v'kedoshim. Everybody is agreed that the karbonos that are brought bifnim from the am, what is that? That's the soyer. Me'ez b'nei Yisrael, what do you take? Shnei sireizim. So you've talked about the other averas. The other averas come from the vidui on the soyer mishtaleach. What is the point of the dam of the soyer? Well, we know what that is. We learned that out in Shavuos. That is mechaper on tumas migdash v'kedosha for b'nei Yisrael, which is the same thing that the par is mechaper on for Aaron and for Shevet Levi, right? Okay. Now, in the same way that we have a kapora without a vidui, there was no vidui on the Soyer HaNase Bifnim, so we have a kapora just from the dam of the Soyer HaNase Bifnim, and that dam relates to the kapora of Tumas Migdash V'Kedoshav, then let's think about the idea of Benogea, the par of Aaron. What's the par for? We know that he said a vidui on the par twice, one for himself and one for himself together with the entire shevet, beiso. So I would suggest, says Rabbi Shimon, that the dam hapar is mechaper separately from the vidui on the par, exactly, and that's for kohanim. Now, for everybody else, we said, b'ez b'nei Yisrael, we're going to use the seirim instead of what the kohanim and Levi are using, right? So I would say, in the same way that we have two separate kaparos on the soyer, we have two separate kaparas on the par. So, kach dam par is mechaper on the kohanim b'tumas migdash v'kedoshav. Same way the dam ha-soyer. I mean, that's what the pasuk says. That from Aaron, take a par, and from B'nai Yisrael, take the soyer. Okay, fine. But then that would mean that you haven't accounted for, and what did the vidui and the par do? What was the point of that? Because for the tumas migdash v'kedoshav, it's blood that's mechaper, not vidui. So the vidui, I would say that the vidui on the Soyer HaMishtaleach, which is mechaper on Yisrael, on everything else but Tuma, is the parallel of the vidui on the par, which is mechaper on the Kohanim for all other averas. That's the point. So what Rabbi Yehuda is doing is he's breaking down the entire parallel between what the par does for Aaron, Bezot Yavo Aaron, and what the Shnei Seirim Me'et B'nei Yisrael do for B'nei Yisrael. Why would you do that? If the Torah is basically juxtaposing them, one in terms of Aaron Ubeso, and one in terms of Yisrael. Therefore, I say, says Rabbi Shimon, there is no kapora on Kohanim from the Soyer HaMishtaleach. That is done for Yisrael. That's the point. So somebody is a Kohen. He gets his kapora from the vidui of the par, unless it's tuma when it's the dam of the par. Now, Tana Rabbana. So we have a price. Remember, we were talking, all of this is in the context of our Mishnah. We were talking in our Mishnah, what happens if in the middle of the Dama Par, or in the middle of the Dama Sawyer, the blood spills out? Then that was the machlokas we had in the Braisa. So now, let's take a look at, in the Mishnah, let's take a look at the Braita and come to see how the way that we've just split up the nature of the Kaparas relates to the way that the Mishnah has split up the sets of the Hazoyas that are done. So Tana Rabbana, v'chila mikaper et hakodesh. So we have the same idea, which comes at the very end of the parsha, right before Vaitaz zot lachem l'chukat olam. We darshan that pasuk, which sums up what you did, that this is the kapora on the mikdash hakodesh, and on so on and so forth. But when we talked about the seder ha'avodah, so we also said that the idea over here is that v'chila mikaperes hakodesh v'sol mo'ed v'et hamizbeach. So when, that's the pasuk we analyzed yesterday, im kila kiper, or im kiper kila, v'krivet ha'sa'ir achai. So this is right between the par and the sa'ir. So v'chila mikaperet hakodesh, that's a reference to lifnai v'lifni. And then it says v'ol mo'ed, that's referring to the hecha. And then it says, ve'et ha-mizbeach, et ha-kodesh, ve'tol mo'ed, ve'et ha-mizbeach. That's a reference to k'mashmo, to mizbeach ha-pnimi. This pasuk, separating them out in those three ways, teaches us that each one of the matan damim is considered to be a set of kapora on its own. Shukubalan kapora, kapora bifnei atzman. This was the basis of mikan amru. Now that's not really completely true, because, I mean, it's not mikan amru natan miktsat matanot shenifnim v'nishpach adam yavi dam acher, because that certainly does not necessarily follow. But what does follow is the part that comes afterwards, as we'll see. So if you're talking about miktsas matanot, we can't see from this pasuk what to do about miktsas matanot. But we can say from this pasuk, we see gomara tamatanot, that yes, that over there everybody is made up. So first, we're going to say, okay, mikan amru, that when it comes to mikzas matanos, we have a question, and when it comes to completing an entire set, we don't have a question. So it sounds like the mikan amru was referring to mikzas matanos, but there's nothing here that says clearly anything about mikzas matanos yet. So first, let's bring the first part. Okay, the machlokes. So the Tanakama holds natan miktsat matanot shebifnim v'nishpach adam yavi dam acher v'yatchil b'tchila. You have to start all over again. B'matanot shebifnim. Rebbe Elazar v'Rebbe Shimon omrim, no, you don't have to start all over again. You continue from where you left off. Now, continuing the Mishnah, and this is what we do learn from the pasuk clearly, gomaret ha-matanot shebifnim, that if you completed the entire idea of one of the sets, then Yavida Macher, then for sure you start at the beginning of the next set. Nobody says you have to go back to the previous set because it has to all be done together. Furthermore, we get to the next problem. What happens if some of it spills? Okay, semachlokas. If some of it spills in the middle of the Matanot Be'echal, semachlokas. Tanakama says Yavida Macher v'yatchil b'tchila be'echal. You start the second set from the beginning. Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon say, no, you don't have to go all the way back. You just continue from where you left off. Next. But from the fact that the pasuk separated them out, we now know that everybody would agree that if gamar matanot shebe'echa v'nishpach adam, you finished, and now the blood spills out. What do? You have to go to the mizbeach. Do I have to start all over again from the matanot shebe'echa? No, I don't. If I was gamar matanot shebe'echa v'nishpach adam, then for sure, the pasuk made it very clear by saying v'chila mikaperet hakodesh and the be'echal and the mizbeach, each one is separate. And therefore, for sure, you only have to start v'yatchil b'tchila. You start at the beginning of set 3, which is the matanot shebamizbeach. And then we've got the same question. If some of the dam spills out in the middle, Natan Miktsas Matanot Shemizbech Manishpach Adam. There again, Tanakam says, Yavidam Acher, Yatchil B'tchila B'matnot HaMizbech, Rebbe Lozov, Rebbe Shemet say, you don't never have to start from the beginning. So, Gamar Matanot Shemizbech Manishpach Adam, how about at the last stage? Because there is another stage. What is that other stage? Shvicha Shiraim. Shvicha Shiraim is done outside. So, Gamar Matanot Shemizbech Manishpach Adam. Then, surprisingly, it says over here, that everybody is made, Divrei HaKol Lo Ma'akve. Now, that isn't true. I mean, we know that it's definitely not Divrei HaKol because we had the whole discussion about Rabbi Yochanan yesterday, right? What does Rabbi Nechemiah hold and what does Rabbi Yehuda hold? And he made it into a machlokesh, Shnei Mikrei Chadorshu. Is there a ikuv on Shvicha Shiraim or not? I mean, obviously, you can't say everybody agrees, because at least we had a machlokas. I mean, the way we came out in the end, both Rabbi Nechemiah and Rabbi Yehuda agreed. But it means everybody that is discussing here, that we discussed the machlokas with Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon, and the Tanakama, all of those sheet disagree that Shvicha Shiraim is not ma'akev, and that you would still have a kapora without Shvicha Shiraim. Okay, but let's focus on the part in the Mishnah that we know is the machlokas that we had over here. Do you start from back in the beginning of each one of the three sets every time that there's some breakdown in the middle of a set, or can you just continue from where you were up to? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, look, both Tanakama and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon are basically looking at the same pasuk and they're understanding it in it's very slightly different ways, which leads to their machlokas. And that is because that pasuk that talks about the chukah talks about the fact that it says, Bidam chatat hakipurim achat bishana. Now, that was that very mysterious pasuk that came at the end of Tetzaveh, when all of a sudden we found out that there's a Mizbeach Hazov that we had forgotten about after we talked about everything else. We pretended that the Mishkan is finished. All of a sudden we say, you got to build yourself a Mizbeach Hazov. And over there, we didn't even know that there was such a thing as kapora, because like, the Torah hadn't said anything that had gone wrong. There was no egel, there was no tuma, there was no nothing, right? And it says over there this weird thing, v'chipera rona karnotav achat bashana midam chatata kipurim. What the heck is a chatata kipurim when you're reading Tetzava? No idea what this pasuk is referring to. Achat bashana yechapera lav ledorotechem kodesh kodeshim ulashem. Now, all of a sudden, we understand, oh my God, that's a reference to the whole Achrimot story, right? And the Achaz B'Shana, which we've understood now that Achaz B'Shana was very important, understanding that this is done on the Achaz B'Shana. We learned various things from the Achaz B'Shana. Now, Tainas Rabbi Yochanan, that question of Chatata Kippurim Achat B'Shana also means Chatata Kippurim Achat. There can only be one Chatata Kippurim. Oh. So if that's the case, there's two completely different ways of reading the pasuk. Because if you read it that way, then Rabbi Meir, we're assuming the Tanakhama is Rabbi Meir, because it's Stam Mishnah. So Rabbi Meir says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us in Shmos, Chatat achat amarti lecha. Now look, man, I told you, bring one chatas. You can't bring two chataot and say, well, I did the first three zrikas, azoyas of the dam, I did from chatas A, par A, and now I did from par B. But if we put par A and par B together, then I'm okay, because then I have a chatas achas pashana. Yeah, great. But you don't have a chatas achas pashana, right? So how can you have to start over again? Because otherwise you're going to have to use two chataot to achieve what I told you needs to be achieved by one chatas. Therefore, there's no choice but to start over again. So Tainas Rabbi Meir, who becomes the sheet of the Tanakhama in the Mishnah. Shecht another par and start from the beginning. Was Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon saying, no, the meaning of the word chatata kippur. Remember that every word chatat has a double meaning, because v'chite does not mean turn it into a carbon chatas. It means do the zrikas hadam, chitui. So chatat relates always directly to the act of the hazoyo, the act of zrika, as the case may be, or putting it on with your finger. That's the chitui. So to see to it that there is only one chitui and not shnei chituyim, which means if you already did a chitui, don't do it again. So that means, according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, the pasuk is saying exactly the opposite. Do not repeat any of the chitui of the dam that you did. So if you did the first three, don't go back and start at the beginning. You're not. Keep going. Because I'm telling you to only do each one of these chituyim once. So then that means that that subtlety in how I understand the relationship of the word of chatat achat is the difference between Rabbi Meir on the one hand, who holds that you've got to start over again because you could only have one carbon to achieve a set, or Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, who say, no, you can only do each act of Azoya once and therefore keep going from where you were. It's the same pasuk. Tanya, Amar Rebbe, now this is a fascinating discussion. Remember that when it comes to Tzarat, the weirdest thing is that there's all types of very interesting parallels in the dinim of the Tiras HaMetzorah and the halachas of Yom HaKippurim. So, okay, until now we've been focused on the idea of, that we started off at the beginning of the Masechet, which is Kasher Asa B'Yom HaZeh, and that gave us an interrelationship with the dinim of Tumas Meis and the Pora Aduma with the ideas of Yom HaKippurim. We saw a lot of parallels. But if you take a look, as you're reading the Torah, you get a very clear sense of, well, one of the issues that came out of the death of Nadav Avihu, Achrei Moshe Bnei Aaron, was the issue of Tumah of Tzaraz. And the way that we end up being Bechapra on the Tumah of Tzaraz is you bring two birds that need to be exactly the same, one of which is sent out, and one of which is shechted. Doesn't that sound familiar? So if that's the case, then the fact that the Torah says, and you should sprinkle the dam of the Asha Metzera and the oil of the Metzera to the Paroches. To the Paroches? There's even some who learn, we pointed out, Rashi said earlier, that the Kohen actually goes into the Heichal to do the sprinkling with the oil. On the, whoa! Now that's crazy. But the Torah definitely presents it in that way. L'maisa we paskin, he stands at the Mizbeah, he stands in the Azor, and he sprinkles towards the Parochas. It doesn't go in mamash. Okay, but there's certainly those who hold that he literally goes in. Even Rashi is mashma in our Masechet. So then the question is, there's also the very strange splitting up of the sprinkling of this oil into three stages, exactly the way that we have the three stages over here. So we want to know, okay, is this actually a model? That we're going to learn out the same thing that we do here in Yom HaKippurim, and there would be the same achlokas, and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. The question is, if the Betzora's oil spilled out in the middle, do you have to start at the beginning, or do you continue from where you are? So, like, okay, what is the connection? And how much of a parallel is it when we talk about the lug of the Mitzora? So the lashon that we have up front over here in the Braita is Tanya. Omar Rebbe, well, Rabbi Yaakov taught me a difference between the lugin of the Mitzora and the dam of Yom HaKippurim in our Mishnah. And that is that where do we have our machlokas between the Tanakama, whom we just identified as Rabbi Meir, on the one hand, and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon on the other hand, about whether you have to start from the beginning or whether you dafka have to continue from where you are, and you're not allowed to continue from the beginning the way that Rabbi Yochanan just explained it. So Rabbi Yaakov said to me, do not get confused and think that the same machlokas would also obtain in the case of the lugin of the Mitzera. Who would think that? Everybody, once they understand the entire idea of how these two things are juxtaposed. So it's sort of like the first time we hear that there's a Torah Shebaal Peh is where people come around to start arguing about whether there's a Torah Shebaal Peh. It's like, we take for granted, like, all the time until we get to the Tzedukim. Obviously, everybody's keeping these mitzvahs this way and so on. All of a sudden, somebody comes along and says, Wait a minute, how do we know any of that? The same thing over here. You know, all along we've been assuming that any fool knows what it means. Comes along Rabbi Yaakov and he says, yeah, but don't think that it's a complete parallel. Okay, so now you understand how profound this parallel was. If the first time you need to know about it is where somebody has to warn you not to take it too far. Okay, so Rabbi says, Rabbi Yaakov came to me and he said, look, it's not going to be learned out from Yom Kippur. Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon only disagree but don't get a Yom Kippur. But they would be made in the case of the Metzora. If some of the oil spills, then you have to start from the beginning. Really? Now, of course, what would the reason be for that? Well, very simple. If Rabbi Yochanan was correct, and the whole machlokas l'gabei Yom Kippurim is predicated on the achas, whether it's referring to the chitui or it's referring to the chatas, of course, the word shemen cannot be read as either chitui or chatas, and over there it says lug, so then it's got to be lug achas, because it uses the same lashon by the Metzora, achas. So over there they can't argue. They can only argue here. Fine, so this follows from the discussion we were just having. Problem is that the Braita seems to imply that they do argue, because it says in the Braita, Natan miksat matanot shebifnim. Look at this. So you gave some of the matanos of the Luk Shemen that need to be brought in the Kadesh, but as we just said, it doesn't mean literally in the Kadesh. It means towards the Kadesh. That's what all of the Rishonim learned, that it wasn't actually, the coin didn't actually bring it into the Kadesh, and then the Luk of Shemen spilled, Yavi Lugacher, V'yatchil b'tchila b'matanat sh'be'ichal, literally word for word, what it says in the Mishnah. Even though it's misleading, the point of these words is to show the juxtaposition, obviously. So we're going to utilize the wording of our Mishnah to talk about the Luk Shemen of the Mitzvah. So start over again with the matanot sh'be'ichal. What are the other matanot that are the equivalent of the matanot not Shebeichal, we'll see in a minute. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, no, Mimakom Shepasaku Matchil. That's exactly the same thing that we had by Yom Kippur. Look at this, this is even crazier. Gamar Matanot Shebeichal V'Nishpachaluk. What are you going to say now? I mean, there wasn't any Matanos on the Mizbeach Azov. Come on, man, what is the next step? Yeah, I'll tell you. Yavi Lugacher, V'Yatchil B'Tchila. What's the equivalent of the Matanos of the third stage? Here it's the second stage of the Mizbeach. The toesies of the Mitzvah becomes now the equivalent, right? So your big toe, your thumb, okay. So that's the next stage. So then if it spilled out in the middle, so then we have the machlokas. But if you finish that first set being in the Heichal, now your next set is putting it on his thumb and on his toes. Okay. Now, if he gave only some of the sprinklings on the Matanot Bonot and Nishpachalug, same machlok is like we had in the next stage in the Mishnah. Yavi Lug Acher, you got to bring another Lug according to the Tanakhama and start over again. It's exactly the same Lushan as we had in the Brisa. The three stages, three machlokas in, same thing over here. You finish stage two. Well, then you have to bring in something rather spilled in stage two. Then we have the machlokas, Yavi Lug, Yatchil B'Tchila, with the stage two, Matanot Shebeonot. Nope, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon say, you can keep going from where you were, word for word. What's stage three? Gamar Matanot Shebeonot, V'Nishpach HaLug. How about if now you finish stage one of the Matanos in the Heichal, towards the Heichal, stage two on the thumbs and the toes? So then everybody is made out that stage three is Namagiv. What is stage three? Well, stage three, it says that when he finishes, so then he should take whatever is left over in his hand and he should rub it on the guy's head. That's now keneged shvicha shiraim. So there's the shvicha shiraim onto the yesod, and over here, there's whatever shemen is left over, he should rub it on the guy's head. Wild. And not only that, it even uses the same lotion, Umiyeter Hashemen, referring to the Shirai, Miyeter Hashemen Asher al Kapo, Yitena Kohen for step one. We're going to see, we analyze this separately. Altenuch Ozen Amiter, by the way, there's a whole question of why don't we mention Ozen? How can we only mention toesies and thumbs? Okay, but obviously it's a reference to Tenuch Ozen again. So since we're calling it Miyeter Hashemen, we're giving it apparently a din of Shirai. But anyway, we see that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon disagree with the Tanakhama on every single stage of the Lukshamana Mitzvah. So how could Rabbi have said that Rabbi Yaakov came along and said to him, don't make the mistake of thinking it's the same Achlo, because it's not. Well, then obviously Rabbi didn't say what we thought he said. He must have said that Lishana Rabbi Yaakov Belugin, not Chilek, and that actually he repeated this entire Braita, but in the context of the Lukshamana of the Mitzvah, and in fact it was the same. Not that he was Chilek. That's what it really means. When the word we understood Chilek to mean he was Michalek, that's not what it meant. It means he was Chilek. He applied the same Machlokas to this. That's what it meant. We completely misunderstood it. But one thing interests me, by the way. You said that everybody agrees that the Matanot HaRosh are not Ma'akev. How do you know that the Matanot HaRosh are not Ma'akev? I mean, I'm assuming that it's because it uses the word Ve'hanotar min Hashemen. So it says over there, specifically, that the leftover Yitein al Rosh HaMitaher, right? So since you're calling it the Notar, so therefore, we're giving it the din of Shirayim. Because there's other places on Notar. It says, Vahanoteret min hamincha. Okay, what's that called? Shirayim. What's the din if something happens to the Shirayim? Doesn't matter? Vodech, it matters. Are you going to tell me, Hanoteret min hamincha, Ochinami de lo ma'akve? Boy, does it matter. If you have Shirayim that were chaser, ben kmitza laktara, you can't do the aktara. So what are you telling me it doesn't matter? So obviously, notar does not mean that it gets a din of Shirayim. No, that's different. Because in the Mitzorah Psukim, we have two different Lashinas. We have the idea of Miyeter HaShemen that we spoke about before. And we also have another pasuk, which refers to Hanotar. So, Miyetar Hashemen Asher HaKapo Yitein HaKoyin HaTracha Ozer HaMitayar HaMyanid. And then we have the pasuk that also calls it Uminotar. What does that mean? It means, remember, we had in Megillat Rut. So, we had Vatishaer HaIsha twice. Once she was tisha'er from Ba'ala, the second time she was tisha'er mi Ba'ala o mishtei banea, mi isha, not Ba'ala, of course, it was the whole point, mi isha o mishtei banea. The lashon of the medrash there was, she became shirei shirayim. Says the Gemara, that's the meaning over here. Shirayim could be ma'akve, but shirei shirayim. You had notar, and now you had miyetar Hashem, and you have now the notar min ayetar. Oh, that's already shirei shirayim. That's completely used. That brings out so beautifully the meaning of the pasuk over there. That's exactly what's going on over here. Wow. Okay. Now, let's talk about the same kind of issue that has to do with the Asham Mitzorah itself. So suppose we're talking, remember that in order to get to the oil that we put onto the Mitzorah, we have to first go through bringing an Asham. It's very weird because the Dam of that Asham still has the din of Dam like other Karbonos, as we put on the Mizbeach and so on. But the Dam itself is also put on the ear, the Tenuch Ozen HaYemanit, and the Bo'en Yado HaYemanit, and the Bo'en Raglo HaYemanit. So here we discuss the oil. What about the Dam? So let me ask you something. Suppose we know the din is that wherever you bring a carbon, Shelo L'Shem Ba'alav, what's the halacha? The carbon is kosher, but it was Lo Ala L'Ba'alim L'Shem Chova. So this is really interesting because, okay, normally say Lo Ala L'Ba'alim L'Shem Chova, but over here, what do I do with the blood? I need to use the Dam of the Asher Mitzorah, which has now been turned into a generic carbon that no longer has any relationship to the Mitzorah that brought it. So now, what do we do? So let's talk about an Asher Mitzorah that was Nishkan Shelo Lishma. This, Tain is the Braisa over here, this is going to be exact, not the Braisa, Rabbi Yochanan, this is going to be exactly the Machlokas of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Shimon. So the same way we had Rabbi Meir being the Tanakama ben Ogea, the din of the the Dam on Yom Kippur or the Shemen of the Metzera? We have the same question over here. Rabbi Meir says, look, you got to start over again. Bring another one. Yovi Acher, start at the beginning. That's what Rabbi Meir said here. Hachanami, Yovi Acher, bring another Asha Metzera. Start at the beginning. Do the Zrikas Adam, and that's it. But Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, since they said that the way to understand by Yom HaKippurim and by the Shemen HaMetzera is that you keep going from where you are, you can't keep going from where you are because you don't have anything to do. Ein Hachinami. But you can't go back to the beginning either, according to them. So therefore, you are stuck. Hacha, ein lo takana. There is no way that this Metzora is going to be able to become tar. Because just like by Yom HaKippurim, the Torah taught us that if something spilled, whatever had been done up to that point is considered to be your Yotzei the Chiyuv of the Aveda. Don't go back and do it again. Now just keep going. But in this case, if you're telling me don't go back and do it again, then I have nothing to do because I do not have the dam that relates to the Metzora to be able to sprinkle on him. Because it's all of the Balam L'Shem Choma. What in the world am I going to do? Nothing. There's nothing that you can do. You can't bring another Asham, and therefore you are stuck. You can't bring the same Asham either, because first of all, over there it also says that it's Achat. And if it's Echad, you can't bring two. That's how they understood it from over there. You're supposed to continue. I don't have anything to continue with. So over there, it's not the same as where I can bring other oil, because it doesn't say only bring this oil. Fine. Matkifar of Chista, when you say that there's nothing to do, and you say that you should go back and bring another one, why don't we have exactly the same issue that we had? It says, v'hikriv oto la'asham. Now, oto means one. And it says, et log ha'shemen, v'hinif otam tenufa. So it's the same problem. Only oto can be brought, nothing else. So then Rabbi Meir should agree, okay, you're stuck. I can't say go bring another one because it says oto, I can only bring one. That is definitely a problem. Gosh. But anyway, despite this, we have a brayta that seems to say exactly what Rabbi Yochanan just taught us. Tanik avasid Rabbi Yochanan, asham mitzora sheshachato shelo lishmo, o shelo natan matan damo legabi bahonot, hareze olo legabi mizbeach. Look, if you messed it up, you either brought it shelo lishmo, you didn't put the dam on the bahonot, the animal is kosher, because it's no different than any other asham which is brought shelo lishmo. It's just not olo lebalim l'shem chova. But it is Ola to the Mizbeach. We treat it with the Chiyav of Nisachim, the way that we treat other Ashamas. You have to bring wine with it. But you need another Asham in order to be Machshir, the Mitzora, to eat Kodesh, because otherwise you are not going to be able to. Okay, so you see that you need another Asham. Okay, so who cares about Rav Chisda? Rav Chisda said, well, what do you mean? You can't. It says Oto. The Brayta supports Rabbi Yochanan and says, no, you need another Asham. Says Rabbi Chisda, excuse me? What? Yeah, it says you need another Asham. I agree you need another Asham. I just said, boy, are you in problems here. You need another Asham and you can't find another Asham because you can't bring the other. That's what he means. Poor guy. He needs another Asham and now he is stuck. So it means tsarich, my tsarich, tsarich ve'en lo takana. You need it, and you can't have it. What? The Tana uses the word tsarich as meaning you need it, not in the sense of you need it and go out and do it, but you need it, and therefore you are stuck? I mean, isn't that sort of a weird way to say you're stuck? Oh, no, it's not, says Rav Chisda. Absolutely. Take a look at this bright. This is a very cute one. You've got a nazir who does not have a stitch of hair on his head. So he's totally bald. Now, the Torah says at the end of the Nazirus that he has to be migaleach, his rosh, and he burns the hair. Now, what's the guy going to do? So Beit Shammai says, look, you know, take a razor and pass it over his head. See all of that virtual hair? pass that razor over his head, burn the virtual hair underneath the Asha Metzera. So, Sarich Avaratar, he needs passing the razor blade over his head. Whereas Beit Hillel says, nah, you don't. You don't go through nonsense. I mean, when the Torah, basically, when the Torah gives an idea, this is called, and this is in Machlokas, we have in many places, whether be'inan kro kedichtive or lo be'inan kro kedichtive. When a pasuk tells you something, and it's referring obviously to a specific situation. I mean, when you say pass a razor over his head, you know, I mean, come on, if the guy doesn't have any hair, I mean, what are we passing razors over his head for? What, are you wearing Google glasses or something? So it doesn't make sense. So the pasuk obviously means for you to understand in context. And it doesn't need to be precisely, but if he doesn't have any hair, so therefore the whole thing doesn't apply to him. That's called lo be'inan kro kedichtive. So therefore, okay, fine. It just means if there's hair, pass the razor over his head. And Rabbi Avina said over there, you know what Beit Shammai means when he said you need to have Avarat Har? He didn't mean you pass a razor over a bald head. He means this guy's got a big problem because he can't get out of his Naziris. Because since the Torah said he's got to be shaving all of his hair, he doesn't have any hair, how's he going to get out of his Naziris? Sorry, ain't lo takana. Okay, so says... So there is obviously a use of there is a use of the word tzorich in the sense of tzorich vein lo takana, because Beit Shammai holds be'inan kro kedichtive. You need the pasuk to be carried out as written. Now, not everybody agrees that that's what Beit Shammai meant, because pliga the Rebbe Pedat, because Rebbe Pedat said, commenting on the same sheet of Beit Shammai, he said, well, you see that Beit Shammai and Rabbi Elazar agree basically about one fundamental thing. Do you really need to take a pasuk exactly as it's written? I mean, let me ask you something. How about a mitzora who does not have a big toe? That's right. When his parents kept threatening him, we're going to eat your toesies, they actually did. Now, what happens in that case? So you're not going to be able to sprinkle the mitzora. So what do you do? Says the Rabbi Pedas, I think it's exactly the same as what Beit Shammai says, what Rabbi Elazar says. Beit Shammai, remember, he says you just take a razor and you put it over his bare head that's got no hair on it. Well, Rabbi Elazar says the same thing. It's none, because we have in the Mishnah in Negoyim, well, obviously we have to be learning Negoyim in order to get to this Pesachet here. It says over there, Ein lo bo en yad ubo en regel, if he doesn't have a big toe or he doesn't have a thumb, there's nothing to do. Ein lo tahara olamit, he's never going to be able to become tar. Whereas Rabbi Elazar says, oh, come on, it doesn't mean literally it's got to be on its toe. It means it's got to be on that place. So you put it on the stump of his toe. Rabbi Elazar, I'm not in a mekomo. You're yotze, because the pasuk is not meant to be carried out precisely word for word as it's mentioned. That's the point. Rabbi Shimon says, I agree, it doesn't mean exactly, but I think a toe is a toe. I mean, if you got an opportunity to put it on its toe, so put it on his left toe instead of his right toe. I mean, that's better than just putting it on a virtual toe. But anyway, the point is that we see, according to Rabbi Pedat, that Beit Shammai was taken to mean literally, take a razor, tzorich havaratar, means exactly what it says. Take it. Now, once we're on the topic, we need to understand that this is a very strange carbon. I mean, it's Tan Rabbanan. It says over here, vilakach, the lashon of the Torah is that he's supposed to be vilakach, he's supposed to be taking, the Kohen takes from the dam, and vinatan, vilakach ha-kohen midam ha-asham, vinatan ha-kohen, al tenuch, ozen, ha-meteretzon, and so forth. Now, usually, how are you mekabel the dam of a carbon? Well, obviously, you have a mizrak. But over here, by juxtaposing, v'lakach ha-kohen v'natan ha-kohen, that is telling us that he's got to do it with the same hand that he's going to be using for the v'natan. The v'natan is not by pouring it from a mizrak. The v'natan is by taking it with his finger and putting it on him. So therefore, Yocho Bakli, you might think that v'lakach ha-kohen means that you have to be mekabel the dam, the way that you would be mekabel on another carbon, tambud lomar v'natan. manetina ba'atzmo shel kohen, af lekicha ba'atzmo shel kohen. If you give the dam onto the metzora using your own flesh and your hand, you have to dip your finger into it, as we'll see later on, then the lekicha has to be done by putting your cupped hand underneath the blood and getting some blood into that hand. Yochel af lemizbeach kein, but remember that we learn out from the pasuk that the Torah was magzir the dinim of the asher metzora, that even though it doesn't say over there to treat it the way you, but we learn out from the Gemara, kichatat ke'asham, comes to tell me that even an asher metzora has to be treated the way any chatas. In other words, the Torah is magzir, the strange carbon metzora, to the dinim of the normal asham, so that anything you would do on a normal asham, you also have to do for the asher metzora, which means that even though this is crazy, there's no other carbon in the world that you take the blood and you put it on a person, you have to put it on the mizbeach, so you might think it was a dovar yotzam in aklal. What's the rule? Davara yatsamina klal I ata yacholach zirola klalo achich zirola Torah beferush akra beferush. Right? Where was the Torah machzir the dinim of an asher metzora to the norm by saying kechatat kasham again unnecessarily? We know what the dinim of an asher, that comes to talk about asher metzora. Fine. Now that means that the asher metzora is going to have some blood being put on the person's body, some blood that's being put on the mizbeach. The blood that's being put on his body, it says v'lakacha kohen v'natan. So it has to be done by the actual hand, not a kli. So you might think, okay, so if that's true, even though the Torah told me I do have to do zrika on the mizbeach, I should do it also from the same blood in the hand, right? No, Talmud lomar ki kechatat hasham. That tells me also to do it the way you would do it with the chatas. Do you do it with the chatas by being mekabel the dam in your hand? Of course not. Ma chatat una kli. We know that the korban chatas requires the kli. We learned that out from Moshe Rabbeinu, that he took the dam, it says over there, ba'aganot. So it means it has to be put into a kli. So then if that's the case, just like the chatas tuna kli, the asham also is stone kli. So what does that mean? Well, there's only one possible conclusion. You need two kohanim for the Kabbalah's Adam of an Asher Mitzera. So how do you do that? Nimtzeta Tomer, Asher Mitzera, Shnei kohanim mekablim adamo. One kohen is mekabel adam that he can get from a kli. The other kohen is mekabel adam in his hand. Echad beyad ve'echad bekli. The one who is mekabel bekli proceeds along the general guidelines for how to bring a korban asham. So he then proceeds up to the mizbeach, balo etzel mizbeach. The one who is mekabel beyad, he comes to the mitzora and he puts it on the mitzora. So that would mean, now, when we said before, we had in our Mishnah that if the dam spilled, you bring another korban to get another dam, and you use it instead of the dam that had spilled, right? Okay, so let's just take a look at what is actually a braita. So again, it's the whole question, does Tanan mean the Mishnah, which it doesn't here? It's a Tanan Rabbanan, should we change the Lashon? Or, as we've pointed out many times, sometimes a braita that is explaining directly a Mishnah is also referred to as Tanan. Anyway, so Tanan Hatam. So the question is whether to change it. So yeah, the Grot changes it. Anyway, so Tanan Hatam. Now, we learned that the Kulam are Metami Begodim Abeta Bilia. It may turn out that you've got a lot of different Purim or Seirim on Yom Kippur. Because if you finish, everybody is Meida, right? Either, I mean, you're going to have to shecht another one for the middle, like Rabbi Meir, or you'll shecht another one for the beginning of the next one, and that's a different Nesina. But anyway, you end up with three Purim, three Seirim. Every single time that you bring another Seir, you have to go ahead and do the Hagralah again. So that means you're also going to have another Seir Mishtaleach. So now you've got a lot of Seir Mishtaleachs that are lined up over here. So, I mean, what in the world? So what do we do in this case? So this is very interesting. First of all of the Purim and the Seirim that are brought in these strange circumstances, each one of them has a din of a par v'soyer ha-nisrafim. And one of the things that we do on Yom HaKippurim is that then we give it to somebody who takes it out of the machana, and he's metame begodav, and he has to be metire himself before he comes in, right? Okay, every one of these things it says, Ar kulam metame begodim, all of them have to be burned in the Beis Hadeshen, and the Kohen that carries them out, each one of those Kohanim is going to become tame enough to actually be tame begodim, and he's mamish metame begodim, and I don't care how many of them there are, they're going to all be considered to be valid parim seirim nisrafim. They all have this dinim. But the Chachamim say, no. The only one that the Torah is referring to that you got to take out, the Beit HaDesh and the Tame, it's only the last one, because that's the Vechila Mechaper, everything. So the last one, which is Gomar the Kapora, that's the one that the Torah wants us to treat as a Mechaper, because the other ones, all of a sudden, when their dam was spilled out, they just got X'd out of the Kapora story, right? So now here this poor pyre dedicated its life and its very lifeblood to Kapora, and now he gets X'd at the last minute. But he did get X'd, so we need to have the last one is the only one that we can say, here is the valid one that remained a pyre or a sawyer for Kapora until the bitter end. Okay, now if we've got Seirim, then remember for each new Seir, we also have a new Sawyer HaMishtaleach, if we have to do the Hagrallah again. Okay. So, Boimine Rava Mirab Nachman, how many of the Sawyer Lazazels get thrown Lazazels? Kama Seirim Mishaleach. So, Rav Nachman, what kind of dumb question is that? Does it say anywhere to send out all your herd of Seirim, send them all out, dashing over like a bunch of lemmings, throw them out over the. I mean, what? Imagine the scene. It's absurd. I mean, V'chiedro Mishaleach, what? The guy's supposed to be throwing his herd out to the Azazel. Well, my Lord said, Rav, I understand. What's so stupid about the question? I can ask you the same thing about the Seirim and Nisrafim. Well, we said that all of them are going to be Metame. I mean, you could have made fun of that, too. You could have said, well, V'chiedro Soref. Here it says Beferish, at least according to one Shita. He's going to have to burn every last one of them in the Beis HaDesh. And why is that the same? It says, it's not the same at all. Me, dummy. The whole point over here is that when it says by the Zohar Mishtaleach, so we've got a special pasuk where over there it says Lishaleach oto la'azazel. It, one gets sent to the Azazel and not two. Does it say anything like that about the par? No. Say anything like that about the sawyer that is brought bifnim? No. So therefore I'm saying, if the Torah says oto, is it possibly telling you to throw everything to the Azazel? You should have thought out what I was saying. Anyway, which one gets the opportunity to go to hell? That's the question. So, Itmar, Rav Papi, Mishmei Derava Amar, Rishon Mishaleach. You send out the first one. Rav Shimi, Mishmei Derava Amar, Acharon Mishaleach. You send out the last one. What are they arguing about? So, I understand Rav Shimi, Mishmei Derava, because that was the same idea that we said before. Send the one that is going to be Gomer the Kapara. So the one that was actually the mate, the Zug of the Sarah Nasibifnim, that's the one that's Gomer the Kapara. So I understand why to send out the last one. Kasavarhova Gomarbo Kapara. But why would Rav Papi Mishmei Derava say to send out the first one? I mean, that one for sure, its Zug was not good. So how come he says to use that? My Kasavar. He holds like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says the mitzvah is always to use the first thing that comes online. And this was the first one that came online. Well, where does Rabbi Yossi say that? You mean, you're probably referring to the Mishnah Shkolim that we just had? Rabbi Yossi about Kupot. We're over there. Remember, it says, Shalosh Kupot, Shalosh Shalosh Sain, Tormin et Alishka. So we have these three Kupot. Each one holds three Saw. Bring out a total of 9 saw, and it says Aleph Beit Gimel or Alpha Beit Gamel. You remember the whole story. And Ayakatuv Aleim Aleph Beit Gimel. And Rabbi Yossi explains in a braita, why did it say Aleph Beit Gimel? Who cares? Ah, Lama Katuv Aleim Aleph Beit Gimel, because we need to know which one was the first Aleph, because that's the one that you need to use to bring your korbanos first. Because we always go first, right? Shemitzvah Berishon. Is that what you're referring to? Because if you are, it's not a good comparison. I'll tell you why. Because at that point, when basket number 1 from the Lishka came online, number 2 and number 3 didn't exist. This is all that you had. So when it's all that you have, I understand that that is the one that you got to use. But in this case, none of these Seir La'azazels are really Sa'ir La'azazels until you finish the kapara, Yom Atchai. So that means they all became kosher to be a Sa'ir La'azazel at the same moment. So what do you mean Rishon? There is no Rishon at the time. What, just because I did the Hagralah, that makes it Rishon? No. So Dilma Be'idna Ditchazoi Kamaita, Lo Itchazoi Batraita, but over here maybe Rabbi Yossi would agree. I'll tell you which Rabbi Yossi holds a mitzvah Berishon. That's Rabbi Yossi that we had back in Masechet Pesachim. We're over there. We learned Hamafrish Pischovi about somebody set aside a Korban Pesach. The Pesach wanders away. The guy's getting very nervous. Oh my God, oh my God, I can't find him. What are we going to do? So he goes and he's Mafrish another Korban Pesach. Afterwards, of course, the moment you get the second one, that's when you find the first one, as all of us have discovered. It's when you get the second phone that the first phone shows up. Never fails. Okay, so sure enough, the next one, but you never would have found it if you hadn't set aside the second one. So anyway, it doesn't matter. So then you've got two karbanos. Which one? Hare shneim omdim. Which one shall you use? Says the Tanakh, whatever you want. Ezmeim shir tziyakri, I don't know, whatever you feel like. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you always take the first one. Okay, so that really is the same as over here. And here they're both omed now. Take the first one. Same thing is true over here. According to Rabbi Yossi, we take the first one. That's why I say the Sa'ir La'azazel, take the first one. You couldn't have brought that first Pesach ben either. And of course, Rabbi Yossi's motive, that's not the only factor, is to look at which one is first. There's other factors. I mean, if it's a nicer carbon, of course, you take the nicer carbon. But when it comes to sending something La'azazel, even if it's not the nicer one, whatever, we'll handle the first one, whichever it is. Which brings us to the very important moment towards which I have been rushing towards in order to give our wonderful Capitan a special opportunity, Hadron Alach Hotziulov.